Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm joined, very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Anna Eriksson. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much.
And you're presenting the film M, M for Murder, Mortality, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
M for what else?
Well, it could be, yeah, you said some of them. It could be Mother, Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of M's.
Right.
Circling around Marilyn.
How would you introduce this film to a listener who's not familiar with it? What would you say about it? Because it's hard to just ask, what's the story about? I feel like it wouldn't be a fair question.
Yeah, this is, it's inspired by Marilyn Monroe, but it is not about her. I took a long sort of trip to find something that is personal in it, so that, because I think Marilyn's story is sort of dead because it has been told so many times. She and I think that trying to find something new about her, it really was a challenge for me. It wasn't until I found this death sexuality link that I can refer to also that is personal for me as well. That I think that it was a game changer, actually, because I've worked on it for 5 years, but I wasn't really getting anywhere until this.
You mentioned a few interesting things that are there in that answer. I'm particularly curious about the use of the phrase "Marilyn's story is dead."
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that it's kind of worn out. So many times, it's been told so many times, and always in the same kind of way. I feel sort of an undercurrent of violence, of sadness, of blackness in her story that's never been told, actually. If you look at things, if you look at the films or anything made of her, it's always try to replicate her, but you cannot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I find it odd that nobody has tried to touch the blackness of her story, really. Yeah. It was deeply personal for me from the beginning, actually. It was 10 years ago when I read my first book about her, and I was greatly, you know, touched.
What touched you?
The book was it was written by Sarah Churchwell, The Many Lives of Marilyn Monroe, and it's kind of like a biography of all the biographies written about her. Yeah. And it was a feminist approach, yes, I do think so, but there were a lot of things I read in the book that I didn't know that was kind of intriguing. She was a very odd person, to be honest, and all the sexual appeal and all that is presented has this kind of another dimension or sort of aspects about her sexuality that intrigued me, that I felt like she is not, I felt a coldness of some kind, you know, contra all what's presented.
Right.
But there are many things, and if you want to fit all of that in a film, it's very hard. You have to play with symbols. You have to play with pictures and scenes that mean many, many things at the same time. So it was quite a challenge.
How did you do it?
I thought of it. I didn't think of making a film. I was all the time thinking about making just an artwork, like painting in a film.
Right.
And I did many things at the same time, like I composed, I wrote, I edited at the same time. I didn't really, because I had this idea that Marilyn's, she's in limbo, in a kind of death cycle. I didn't care about how, you know, this happens after this and this then and this. No logic, because there is no logic in a limbo. There are just symbols and things coming and going. I thought about making a painting more than...
That's interesting. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I was thinking about this just before the interview.
Yeah.
Actually, since I've watched the film.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that, in a way, this film is now screened in a cinema, but do you think it could be screened somewhere else?
It could be.
It could be split up. It could be, strange things could be done to it. You could.
Yeah,
know, so
true.
Or
a gallery or a museum. Yeah. They have these kind of screenings there too. Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
But if we think of, like, if I'm curious about how the origins of the project, because like you spent a long time filming this, right?
Yeah, I did. 5 years.
But it was always like from the start, when you were taking footage, when you were shooting things that ended up in the film.
Yeah.
Did you think that this was the film, that they were going to be in a film? Were you even imagining a film?
That's a great question. I have huge amounts of material that I didn't use. There were some kind. There were certain scenes that pushed the film forward in a very important way, and I think more than 90% of the material that ended up in the film are actually filmed in the past 2 years. Uh-huh. There are the scene she's walking in the beginning, when she's walking into the house and she's lifting weights.
Yeah.
Those were the kind of scenes that I could capture something that I was looking for. And there were lots of material filmed before that just wasn't right. It just wasn't what I was searching for, and so it was kind of it was a search of some kind. And then when I found those certain things, then it sort of,
so you
know, it was a game changer. Few scenes they were really a game changers.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. So there were defining moments that shaped.
Yeah, that I know. You. I realized. Yes, this is it. This is something. This has the feeling. This is my Marilyn, in a way.
This is your Marilyn. That's really interesting. Your Marilyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much that I could talk about. I'm just trying to pick my brains for things. But now that you mentioned that you, the way that you kind of shot and the were defining moments, do you film like every day? Is that like something that's part of your everyday life, like shooting things? Or
No, okay. I don't. Right. No, I do paint, and I of course compose music, and I sing, and I love film, but it's not something that I actually. It's after this film, after I've made this, it's really come. It's become an obsession. I'm just looking forward to
looking
making
forward.
The second one. I've already started writing it.
Right.
So that's I'm gone with this.
Well,
media.
Speaking of your musical background,
yeah.
Do you find that informs your filmmaking?
Well, no, not particularly, but of course, sound is something I relate to, and I sort of, it's a big part of this film as well.
Well, sound design, you did the sound design.
Yeah.
Along with the other things that you did.
Yeah. And of course, that took a lot of time, because you make everything yourself, it takes a lot of time.
So, that's interesting. I just want to ask you one last question, because you mentioned that book that inspired you when you were young.
Yeah.
You mentioned that it had that a feminist sort of approach to telling the story of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Do you find that's also an approach that you use in this film? Would you
well,
say
I,
that?
Well, I'm not so much a fan of isms in particular, because I think they are sort of they are prisons in a way.
Yeah.
Even feminism in a way. I tend to think that you must free yourself from that too, and I hoped that this film could do that. I mean, something in female sexuality that I wanted to represent, it has a lot of power that you cannot quite you don't, as a woman, you don't even realize it. You sort of, you're amazed by it. Also, I think there is an undercurrent of sadness in it. I don't know why. Maybe it's just my perspective, but I feel it.
Yeah, it's a shame that we have to end the interview here, because we're out of time. But it was great chatting with you. Really, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. And I'll remind our listeners that the film is called M, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Yeah,
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.